Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tejas Networks Q4 and FY 2022 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhupendra Tiwary from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Tiwary.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you to Q4 and FY 2022 results conference call of Tejas Networks. We also thank the management for giving us this opportunity. From the management, we have Mr. Sanjay Nayak, who's CEO and MD, Mr. Arnob Roy, who's COO and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Venkatesh Gadiyar, who's CFO, and Dr. Kumar Sivarajan, who's CTO. Without much ado, I'll give it to the management. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Bhupendra, and welcome everybody to our earnings call. We have uploaded the presentation on our website, the one which I'm going to be walking through. Earlier in the evening, we also released our results for Q4. I'm assuming you have had a chance to at least have a preliminary look at the same. Over the next, you know, half an hour or so, we will go and give you a little bit more color on the results and the state of the business. I'm on slide number one, which is the key updates for Q4. At the outset, as I had mentioned in my press release, we are disappointed with our Q4 performance because while we had a lot of orders, we have a lot of customer wins, because of the global supply chain shortages, we could not deliver as much revenue as we had originally planned for, despite the best efforts that the company and the management team could do. That is something which, of course, we are not very happy about, but it is what it is. Having said that, in terms of the Q4 numbers, our net revenue for Q4 was 127 crores, and for the entire financial year, it was 551 crores, which is a year-on-year increase of just around 6.9%. We had a loss in Q4 of 50 crores, including some one-time items, which Venkatesh will talk about later. For FY 2022, we had a loss of 63 crores. Cash and cash equivalents are at 1,102 crores, and of course, we have no debt. Clearly, we saw margin pressure due to increase in component costs. Semiconductor components have increased, you know, prices worldwide, and we had, you know, we could not pass on all of it to our customers. As a result, we did have a dip in our margins as well. In terms of the way our business, as many of you know, is that our manpower costs are almost fixed. If the revenue comes down beyond a certain threshold, we do not, you know, have the corresponding, you know, way to absorb the manpower costs. That's why the financial performance does dip quite a bit with the decline in revenues. In terms of the overall sales update, this is where things are actually going quite well. Our Q4 bookings, which is new order wins, was 316 crores, and our total order book has increased to 1,175 crores, which is a year-on-year increase of 73%. This is the new business that we won during the year, and these are the purchase orders that we have in hand. In addition to these purchase orders, as we always do, we will always have run rate business from existing customers. In this particular case, there's also a potentially large order from BSNL via our system integration partner that we have not counted as yet because it is not yet coming to our books. The second thing I would like to highlight is that our 4G RAN, which is the 4G base stations, have successfully completed the BSNL's proof of concept testing of the indigenous front stack, which is being front-ended by our system integration partner. Our products have also been cleared for commercial deployments, for which we are now awaiting the orders. It's, I think, a matter of great pride for the company as well as for the country that in a record period of time, we were able to create a completely indigenous base station, and it has passed all the testing criteria in the field trial and proof of concept, which was held over a period of 9 months. I think this is a very good start because it can potentially give us very large orders in the wireless 4G to begin with, and then of course, upgrades for future technology as well. The other thing I would like to mention is that our entire product portfolio has been approved as a trusted product by Government of India. They have a rigorous process for doing that, and all our products have been approved. International business was weak in Q4, primarily because of supply constraints. International orders and run rate orders usually come with a shorter lead time, and of course, we could not supply those orders, and as a result, a lot of that have gone into the backlog. In terms of the supply chain update, which has really had a big hit on our quarterly performance, I can pretty much clearly say that the shortfall was on account of component shortages, which we could not fulfill our customer orders and ship complete systems. As I mentioned, I think in the earlier call also, we have more than 1,000 unique components, and even if a few components do not come, our entire systems get choked out. During the year, we had anticipated the supply chain shortage, and the high cost, high value components, as we call them, the class A components, we had already covered for. But during the year, the class B and class C components, which are smaller components which hardly cost anything, those also became short supplies, and our inability to get all of them in time resulted in us not being able to manufacture those systems and ship it, despite having a very strong order book and customer win. What are we doing now? We have already placed orders for our entire FY23 requirement, which is more than 12 months ahead of time. And we have a fairly large funnel of business that we have won, both in the form of order book, in the form of run rate customers where we have visibility, and also in the form of some of the larger orders we can potentially expect. And to cover for that, we've already taken inventory actions as of date already. So we are confident that as the year progresses, we should be able to recover the lost revenue that we had from last year, and also to be able to grow our revenues quite significantly in this financial year. I would also like to say that we have not lost any business. We have been working closely with the customers, and all the critical requirements of the customers were fulfilled. Whatever we could not fulfill, over the next few quarters, we will be able to supply to our customers. We could have won more business if we could have supplied in time, but since we could not, some of the run rate customers held back some of the orders. So despite that, I believe that we could get a order book going. But clearly, as I said earlier, the financial results are something that from a revenue perspective, we are not very happy about. On the next slide, some other corporate updates which are important, which I would like to share with you. First, today in our board meeting, the board has appointed Mr. N. Ganapathy Subramaniam as non-executive chairman of the board, effective from May 18th. And Mr. V. Balakrishnan, who was so far non-executive chairman of the board, has decided to step down with effect from April 23, 2022, which is tomorrow. And the board unanimously expressed our deep appreciation and admiration for the skillful manner in which Bala steered and positioned the company in its journey from a startup to India's first listed deep technology telecom product company. So with NGS coming in as our chairman of the board, we are also very excited because he has the experience of taking companies of our size like TCS and getting them to global scale. And him being at the helm really gives us a very good positive way forward as well. Some of you would have attended the call on March 30th when we had announced the acquisition of Sankhya Labs, and that will enhance our wireless product offering. It will bring in strong domain expertise in IP and in wireless communication, in 5G, in broadcast, as well as satellite communication. And as I said earlier, Sankhya Labs will be complementary in terms of our product technology areas and customer base. Am I audible? I think there was an interruption from someone.
Bupinder? Yes, your line is audible. Yes, sir, your line is
okay,
audible.
Okay, fine. Perfect. Okay, I just want to make sure there was someone. The third thing I wanted to announce was, which again, on 8th of April, Panatone Finvest Limited, a subsidiary of Tata Sons, exercised their Series A warrants, and their shareholding is now increased in the company to 52.45%. And, the requisite number of equity shares were allotted to them as per the agreement that we had. Now we are 52.45% owned by Panatone Finvest. The last, I think, our product TJ1600 family of product won the Innovation Excellence Award from Voice and Data Magazine. This is our flagship DWDM OTN platform, and it tells a lot about the competitiveness of our high-end product in the transport segment. Of course, ET Telecom selected the Tejas CEO and Tejas CTO in the same year as is for the CEO and the CTO of the Year Award. We were given 3 patents in Q4, taking our total granted patents to 137 and our filing to 350. We also received the ISO 27001 certification, which is for information security management, especially in today's time in cybersecurity and such things are very critical. It was very important for our company to be able to get this certification. So that's really a quick summary of all the things which are happening in the company from a business as well as sales angle. I will dive a little bit more into the sales and the other stuff in a few slides, but I would request Venkatesh, our CFO, to walk us through the next couple of slides on the finance side so that you get a complete picture of the results as well. Venkatesh.
Yeah. Thank you, Sanjay. I'm in the slide of Q4 and FY22 financials. Net revenues for Q4 22 was 126.5 crores, which we saw a decline of 37.2% on a year-on-year basis. EBIT loss of 110 crores for the quarter, and PBT loss of 95.9 crores, and a PAT loss of 49.6 crores, and EPS of minus 4.34 per share. Similarly, for FY22, the net revenues were 550.6 crore, which saw a year-on-year growth of 6.9%, EBIT loss of 157.2 crore, and PBT loss of 117.1 crore, and a PAT loss of 62.7, and a EPS loss for the entire year is minus 5.97. Basically, the loss has happened for the multiple reasons. One is there was a gross margin pressure in the entire year. In Q4 particularly, our international revenue was weak. Basically, international revenue comes with a higher material margin. Because of that, our material costs were high. Secondly, the gross margins were under pressure due to material costs have been increased on a year-on-year basis with the 700 basis points due to the increase in the component costs. Costs have significantly increased, but however, we were not able to pass the entire increase in the component cost to the customers. That's how, we may have to bear that some point of time cost. Secondly, as Sanjay has mentioned, the expense structure of our size of the company where the most of the costs are quasi-fixed in nature, such costs were not able to absorb in the revenue what we have done so far, and it has resulted into the loss as well. And the third point, during the quarter ended March 31st, 2022, we have assessed the recoverability of our overdue trade receivables from BSNL, which is one of the public sector customer, and in view of the delayed collections, we have made an additional provision of around 67 crores towards such receivables which were aged about more than 3 years, which is a one-time kind of a provision that we have made on the receivables. However, we are confident that we are able to collect the money in the coming quarter in this financial year. Next slide. Key financial indicators. The cash flow from operations, cash outflow of 49 crores in Q4, and the net worth has decreased to 1,593 crores from 1,636 crores. Inventory has slightly gone up from 271 crores to 278 crores, basically due to the critical component shortage, and there was a imbalance in the inventory what we are supposed to get in, and there is an increase in the inventory as at March 31st, 2022. And after making a one-time provision of ECL, 67 crores of in the ECL for the trade receivable, the receivable position as of March 31st has come down to now, net receivable has come down to 292 crores as against Q3 balance of 358 crores. However, we have collected around 695 crores in the FY23 towards the receivable collection, and in Q4 we have collected about 165 crores, and the net working capital has slightly increased by 18 crores, which is primarily due to the increase in the inventory level, and the cash and equivalents as of March 31st, 2022 has been decreased to 1,102 crores. and we continue to be a debt-free company. And I believe with this strong cash in our balance sheet, which can be able to invest in the, you know, business opportunities which are lying ahead of us. Sanjay, over to you.
Thank you, Venkatesh. I'm on the next slide now, FY 2022 sales update. So we have been sharing these pie charts in terms of how the business has been across the three segments that we track: India government, India private, and international. So if you see the chart on the right-hand side, which is the FY 2022 numbers, and the chart on the left-hand side is the FY 2021 corresponding numbers. So if you really see that on an absolute basis, India private, you know, has grown from 224 crores to around 257 crores. International has been almost flat at around 200 crores versus 205 crores, and the India government business has slightly gone up from 86 to 94 crores. If I look at the overall run rate business between India private and international, it contributed to 83% of FY 2022, which is almost the same in FY 2021, which basically means that our existing customers continue to give around 83% of the revenues each year, which is a good sign. The India government was for the entire year was 17% of the revenues, which grew, as I said, by 8.7%. In addition, I think there's a lot of orders that we have won during the current financial year, which have gone to our backlog, especially in the critical infrastructure segment: railways, oil, gas, power, you know, smart cities, safe cities, and so on. And even going forward for next fiscal year, in terms of tenders that we already won or business that's already lined up, for example, the BSNL 4G business, we see a very healthy pipeline of new business in the India government sector. On the India private side, it was really, you know, 47% of the total revenues and year-on-year growth of 15%. In addition to the revenue growth, we also saw very strong booking growth. So this is a segment which has been doing extremely well. We have now two segments within India private: the telco customers as well as the system integration customers, and both of them did quite well during the year. International, as a total percentage of revenues, came down to 36%, compared to 40%, which was in FY 2021. In the next slide, I will drill down in terms of which territories did well and which did not. But as an overall percentage for the year, it was down. And as Venkatesh mentioned earlier, for Q4, international was just 16% of total, and that is what partly also contributed to the margin pressure. One thing, again, the run rate business typically comes with a shorter lead time because customers expect the orders to be delivered within a short period of time. And because of the inventory supply situation, some of the run rate customer orders that we got later in the year could not be serviced, which will get serviced now in Q1 and Q2. In terms of closing backlog of 1,175 crores, if I were to give the breakup, India backlog is around 992 crores, and international backlog is around 183 crores. And out of the total backlog of around 1,175 crores, we expect around 70% of that to be executed in the FY 2023, which is the new fiscal year. Other than that, I would now go to the next slide, which goes a little bit further, you know, commentary on each of the regions in terms of the sales update. India private, we were selected by multiple telcos for metro WDM suppliers, for capacity upgrade for, you know, impending 5G backhaul, as well as business-to-business services. We are also selected by FTTx deployments, which is the OLTs or the headends that we supply, and also for ONT by one of the large customers. A lot of wins also in the ISP segments, especially for FTTx, and one large ISP who's also building a large backbone network in the cities, also has bought a 400 gig WDM system from us, during the, rather, we got an order from that customer during this current year. And many system integrator-led wins for our switches in smart cities, safe cities, campus, and some of the banking applications where the automation or connectorization of networking of the banks was the application that we also won. On the India government side, we won tenders in BSNL for WDM and MTNL for GPON, large-sized tenders. And we also completed, as I mentioned, we successfully completed the proof of concept for our 4G rollout, which, as you would have been reading in the press, has a very large potential over the next 24 months. We also got a lot of new orders from power, rail, oil and gas. This was a segment where we almost won all the business that was to be won out there. On an overall basis, if I were to look at, there's a lot of positive tailwinds from the Atmanirbhar policies of Government of India, especially in the telecom sector. India is also trying to make sure that telecom being a security sensitive area, we want to be Atmanirbhar. The push to create a completely indigenous wireless stack for 4G and which will be upgraded to 5G in future is one of such schemes, and we are very proud and happy that we are a part of that stack, and our radio access network, or the base stations as it's loosely called, have actually passed all the testing, and now we are all lined up for getting commercial orders both for this year as well as next year. We are also approved for the PLI scheme, and we have been meeting our criteria for the pre-PLI investments, so we do believe that we should start gaining from that scheme as time goes by. And I already talked about the other things on the India side. Africa and Middle East actually continue to do very well. And we have a large run rate customers who now actually one customer already crossed a $10 million run rate per year, which is a very good thing. And it's been a successive year in which the customer has crossed that. Our WDN, OTN products are being used to build high capacity backbone networks for all the web-scale companies who are pumping in a lot of bandwidth into Africa. And again, we've got multiple, new order wins for West Africa for last year on customers. And overall, I would say Africa is doing well. And we expect that with our reference customer base and all that, we should continue to do well in the next fiscal year. A lot of the business from Africa is on a run rate basis. So as the year progresses, we should see a good order flow as well from Africa. Southeast Asia was the one which underperformed this year. We had one large customer from whom we typically get year-on-year orders, which we did not get in this financial year. But we do expect that going forward, we should be able to recover that as well. But as an overall basis, Southeast Asia did not do very well. We already strengthened some of the sales team in the Southeast Asia, and hopefully we should see better results in the coming year. In the America side, in the U.S., we signed a Tier 1 global OEM customer for our NSPP products. These are our older generation products, but still very relevant in many, many segments, and we got large orders for that. Mexico was a little bit weak. The U.S. Direct, which we have been trying to work last one and a half year, has not given us as much success as we would have liked. So I would still say that it's been underperforming, but we will, especially with the Tata Group involvement, we hope to come out with a little bit better strategy for attacking the American market, and particularly tier one markets in both US and Europe and ANZ going forward. Europe, we had started investing last year. Very happy to announce that we won a multi-million dollar FTTX fiber to the home deal with a new operator in Italy. It's a FTTX and WDM. And we believe that once we start executing on this order, there will be opportunities for multiple such engagements from the same group across Europe as well. Again, Europe is one area where there's a lot of Chinese replacement happening in terms of equipment that has been deployed. And if you have the right channels and the right sales team in place, which we hope to build up during the year, we expect that over some period of time, I'm not sure so sure how much it will be in the current financial year, but definitely between this and next year, we should start seeing ramp up in Europe as well. Overall, I would say international last year wasn't as good as we would have liked it to be, but a lot of the things are in play, and we hope that with all the work that will be put together, we should see a better performance both in terms of booking revenues across India and international. I mean, again, just to reiterate, we won a lot of orders in all these regions. We just could not execute them in the previous financial year, and we hope to do that as we start this new financial year. I would go to the next slide, which is a slide I've used in the last time that I spoke to you after the Sankhya deal. But just to quickly summarize for some of you who may not have been there. So clearly the strategy for us now is to create a global scale telecom product company from India. And our ambition is very large. We've been, now that we are fully a part of the Tata Group, this is something that is very, very important. And I'm very happy to say that there are four pillars of this strategy. First is really to create world-class products for building end-to-end networks. As you know that in the optical and wireline space, most of our products are almost there. And if for specific markets, if some investments are needed to really make them world-class and relevant to that market, those are the things we'll be doing. Wireless products, we have again made a huge amount of progress, especially with the BSNL POC. And we are confident that with all the momentum that we have and the kind of results we've been able to bring in the period of a short period of 18 months, we are very confident that very soon we'll again have an extremely competitive portfolio of wireless products as well. And to do that, as you all know, the job market is very hot, and our focus is to really hire and retain top talent and really also look at inorganic growth. And Saankhya Labs acquisition was one such strategy, and we'll, of course, continue to look at options as and when they present to ourselves, because we do have the capacity to look at inorganic growth as well. Second, we have to use India's large home markets to get anchor deals for economies of scale. Anchor deals could be stuff which could be a pan-India rollout of a particular kind of network, and we do believe that that has been the recipe for success for any other global telecom OEM in the world, no matter which country they came from. They always had a large home market, a large anchor deal around which they could scale up a new product or a new business line, and we expect to do the same as well. India is going to be going to a next 5-year capex cycle, especially because of 5G, which will come in, and also the broadband rollouts. I think there's still a lot to be done on the fiber-based broadband rollout, and even for 5G, unless you have a strong fiber connectivity to the base stations, you will not get a good 5G experience. So any which way we look at it, either from a wireline business or a wireless business, now which we have both, we do believe that India will be an important market for us. And especially when the Atmanirbhar mission is there, we clearly believe that we are the front runners to play a key role in this. And the combination of wireline and now wireless technology and the large home market should be a good way for us to scale up and get to economies of scale. In expanding international business is very, very crucial for us. We've had good success so far. Last year was a little bit of an aberration where we could not do as well in international as we would like to. But going forward, I think with the Tata brand strength and synergies with other group companies and the relationship that exists, we believe in the markets where we currently are, which is emerging markets, as well as the new markets that we can be, US, EU, and ANZ, Australia, New Zealand, we do believe that there are a lot of opportunities to expand. And the last but not the least, we will be focusing on building a global scale supply chain operations. We had a lot of learnings and a lot of lessons because of the challenges that we had in the supply chain worldwide. All I can say is as a team, we have come out stronger, understanding the nuances of what it takes to really navigate through this. How long ahead do we need to look at in terms of ordering components and really planning? And I think, as I said earlier, we have taken all the action that are required for achieving our FY23 revenues, which, as you can pretty much imagine, would be a significant growth compared to what we did in FY22. And in addition, we also have to build a strong backend for technical support, field deployments, both for wireline as well as wireless. And these are the four areas that we will be investing going forward. The next slide is the same product slide that I've been using for the last few things. Just to give a perspective, we have the transport products on the wireline side which have been there. We've added 4G now with the BSNL POC that we talked about. 5G will be upgraded on the same system, as well as with the Saankhya Labs. We get both the O-RAN architecture as well as the traditional architecture for 5G. So we have our hands quite full in terms of having a product portfolio that meets a very large addressable market. So if you see the things on the right-hand side, I mean, there's a lot of business to be won. The numbers are very large. Wireline equipment in India for what we do is around $1 billion right now, going to close to $1.7 billion in the next 4 or 5 years. Globally, it's around $15 billion, going to $32 billion. On the wireless side, for the product that we are doing, which is the radio access network, the base stations today, there's again a very large market in India, going to around $4.5 billion in the next few years. And globally, of course, it's a $30 billion market. So I think it's a large market that we are playing. The TAM is increasing because our product portfolio is going to be expanding. So we have aligned with all the products that we're going to be investing in this year. And those will start, giving us opportunities to work. So I think for us, the challenge is not that we don't have enough products and the markets that we can sell to is large. The challenge for us is really to make sure that our products are world-class in whatever we do. And secondly, building up a very strong sales channel to be able to sell this product not just in India but around the world. So those are the ways that we are going to be looking at our business going forward. I'm on the last slide, after which I'll take questions. So what do we see in FY23 going forward? Clearly, there are opportunities for very significant revenue growth. The fact that our order book is 1175 crores, out of which 70% is already for revenues in FY23. And on top of that, we have a visible pipeline of new orders from run rate customers, as well as for the 4G for BSNL and others, which we have not yet factored in. I think we will have a fairly strong funnel of potential revenues that we can do in the next financial year. India revenues are likely to be very strong because of just the momentum that we've been having. And it is likely that India will be a higher percentage of our total revenues compared to even this year. So this year we did around 36% was, 64% was India and 36% was international. I expect that at least because of larger deals happening in India, while international we expect still to grow on an absolute basis, but because India will be growing faster, we expect India revenues to be a higher percentage contribution. And beyond emerging markets on the international side, we do have plans to expand our international sales in US, Europe, and Australia and New Zealand, leveraging synergies across Tata Group as well. And as I mentioned, since it is very important, we have already taken advanced inventory actions to secure inventory for our planned FY23 revenues. In terms of the investment side, as you saw the last picture, we are really now thinking that we should be creating a very large company over the next 3 years. For that, this is the year where we want to really ramp up a lot of areas where we think a significant heavy lifting needs to be done. So main investment will be in manpower cost, in R&D, in manufacturing, as well as in sales. And in R&D, a lot of investments will be in wireless products, which will further be augmented by the addition of the Sankhya team, which we think should be onboarded by the time we start Q2, because by that time the closure of the 65% of the shares of Sankhya should be done. As I said, we'll also be scaling up our manufacturing operations to deliver global scale volumes. The amount of business potential which can be coming to the company over the next 12 to 24 months can be large, and we just need to make sure that we are well set up to do that. And not last, but definitely not the least, to do all of that, our balance sheet is strong. We have a very strong cash position as on date. After the conversion of Series A warrants, we are close to 1,800 crores of cash in the bank. And we really have the balance sheet to deliver sustainable high growth for years to come. So again, just to summarize, FY22, very good in terms of order win and progress in the business, but very disappointing in terms of the revenues. And if the revenues fell short, naturally because of our cost structure, we had a loss. But we understand what things did not go right as we would have liked it to be. And those lessons are being carried forward for FY23. And we are confident that looking forward should be exciting times for the company. I would pause here and then we'll open up the queue for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Tushar from Ratnavali Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Sir, could you please shed some light on the operations of Sankhya, like what are its main products and customers? Because I believe Sankhya seems to have some existing use case and deployment in defense and infrastructure products. So are they, prospective focus sectors for us and going forward? And my second question is, sir, on your on the manufacturing operations side, so could you please, elaborate a bit on, what is our situation with our EMS vendor? Do we have vendor concentration? And what are our plans in scaling up our manufacturing operations per se?
Good question. Let me start the second one first because that's a live problem that we're dealing with. So we do have two EMS vendors at this point in time. Given the volume of business that we are anticipating in the times to come, we will be expanding, our EMS base and finding out what's the best way to scale up our manufacturing. Our strategy will still be asset light, which is that all the heavy lifting and the large capex would be done by our EMS partners, and the final assembly and test would be done in-house. So we are already in conversations, advanced stage of conversation with multiple EMS vendors of good scale who have the capacity, quality, as well as cost competitiveness to meet our thing. So I'm very confident that before the end of this quarter, our expansion of capacity, manufacturing capacity would be in place. Coming back to your first question in terms of what does Sankhya Lab brings to us, we had discussed the synergies of Sankhya Lab in the detailed call which we had on 30th of March, and actually there's a presentation on our website that gives you more details. But to summarize, as you rightly said, what Sankhya brings to us is complementary. So A, they are doing 5G O-RAN, which is the open RAN, which is the open architecture based 5G, and they are in an advanced stage of product development, et cetera, et cetera. Second, they are also doing broadcast, 5G broadcast. So 5G, one of the use cases is broadcast, and one of their partners and large investor was Sinclair Broadcasting Corporation, which is one of the largest TV broadcaster in the U.S. and in the world. So there's a lot of development that they have around 5G broadcast. And in addition, they had satellite communication products which were used by defense and even for some of the critical infrastructure. So net-net, once Sankhya comes on board, after, as I said, by the end of Q1, we expect to close the deal. As of now, we just are in the process of, completing all the formalities. But once that happens, we would potentially look at some of the segments that they have and if we can accelerate there. But my thinking is, from a Sankhya perspective, is that, a lot of the synergies, may not happen instantaneously. As we work during the year, we'll be able to figure out what things can be done together and how we can scale up more application areas together.
Thank you for the explanation. So just a follow-up question, could you just, delve a bit deeper into, what are the main products and customers of Sankhya? The presentation was self-explanatory, but just a deeper deep dive.
Yeah, so I think one was, as I said, they've been a co-development partner for O-RAN, a large O-RAN opportunity in India, which one of the system integration partners of ours has also announced with the leading operator. So they will be developing the 5G radios. If you were to think of 5G, base stations are equivalent, that is called in 5G. Second, they also have a 5G broadcast product. What that basically means is, think about it that in the earlier days when you used to have a TV, which used to be, beamed from a terrestrial base station, a terrestrial tower, that spectrum can be potentially reused for some of the 5G applications, for instance. And that's called the 5G broadcast. And then they have some product based on their chipsets that they have designed for satellite communication. So you could receive the signal from the satellite on a earth station and then distribute that to those devices. So those are the three product lines that they have, in addition to their own chip, which was designed by them, a fabulous semiconductor chip, which was used in some of their own products.
Thank you.
And that chip is called software-defined radio chip, just for your... So it's basically a chip which can be reprogrammed by software to operate in different kind of frequency bands and so on.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sangam Iyer from Consilium Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sanjay, couple of questions. First, when we talk about 70% of our order book getting executed, could you also touch upon the inventory that we are carrying that gives us a visibility of execution of that 70% by the end of this year?
Yeah. So first of all the inventory that we are carrying is think of it as all inventory available but not in a perfectly balanced form. So what would happen is we will continue to deplete the existing inventory while we continue to buy new inventory to balance the thing. So the way to think of is that assuming that 12 months was the lead time for the longest components that we have. So we made sure that, by early this calendar year, We placed orders for all the revenues that we expected to do during FY23, actually for FY22 as well. We placed orders except that we just couldn't get those components in time. So as a result of the inventory that we have in hand and orders that we have, firm orders that we have placed on our component suppliers as well as the EMS partners, covers for all the 70% of the backlog that we have. And not only that, there's significant more revenues that we can potentially get from our run rate customers from whom we have forecast. So even against those forecasts, we have placed confirmed orders on our suppliers. And in addition, for the large 4G opportunity, at least for some initial quantities, also we have placed confirmed orders. When we look at all the three together, we believe that since we took advanced inventory action more than 12 months ahead of when we needed for a large part, as the year progresses, we should be able to get that inventory despite delays from 12 weeks lead time or 12 months lead time or 40 weeks lead time from our suppliers. So that's I hope that answers your question, Sanjay.
So then to look at the cost side, given the fact that there's a significant escalation and the order backlog that we have built up is over the past 6 months, right? So how should one look at the gross margin profile now? I mean, given the fact that the costs have all moved up 30%, 40%, 50%, while the order wins were based on a certain pricing, right? So can you touch upon that in terms of how should one look at the margin profile here?
As we said on the first slide itself, clearly there will be some margin pressure till the supply chain constraint, because in one sense, because of the component shortages, it actually becomes a little bit of a seller's market, that if you want the components, they increase the price, there's a spot purchases going on. So I think at this stage, I would say that margin pressure will be there for the next couple of quarters. Secondly, I would say is that to the extent where we could have increased prices with our customers, we have done it. So when the rate contracts were renewed, which we typically do now at the beginning of the year or end of last fiscal year, we have been able to pass on the cost increases to our customers. Whenever we bid new in a tender, for example, we pass on the increased cost. But the tenders that, for example, we would have bid at the beginning of last fiscal year, naturally we would have bid based on the earlier price, and that price is locked. So net-net, I would say it's fair to say that for the next two quarters there will be margin pressure, and our focus will be to actually secure the components, do the supplies, and yes, it's a transitionary thing that is going on in industry. But this is something we just have a way to deal with it. And wherever we can increase price, we are doing it. But at a headline level, I would say there will be some margin pressure for sure.
And a follow-up finally, in terms of, the guidance that we are giving kind of indicates clearly that the run rate of 200 crores, that's been something that's elusive for us for quite some time. I mean, we have been not consistent at 200 because of various reasons, which is external to us. How should one look at this? I mean, do we see that this year definitely there will be multiple quarters where if components are available based on the bookings that we have done, that 200 crore plus 100 is something here to stay for from Tejas perspective, and incrementally that's where we build beyond.
Certainly, I think if I look at the fact that as I said, just the backlog alone, if you do the math, would come to a run rate that you have mentioned. And so we do believe that that run rate we should be able to achieve at the soonest, and then actually to be able to build up on that and accelerate as the year progresses. So that is exactly the purpose. And in fact, we are investing with that in mind, that there's a lot of business that we've won, there's a lot of business we will win, and it is important that we build up the run rate of the revenues as well, because there's no point of keeping on winning orders if you cannot complete and fulfill it to the customer. So yes, that is going to happen sooner than later is all I can say.
Great. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Murthy Ram, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for providing an opportunity to ask some questions. Sir, I have two questions, sir. Sir, with the just now you mentioned that the company has won a multi-million-dollar deal in Europe with regarding to FTTS and WDM. Can you please provide some detail regarding this?
Yes, it is a customer in Italy, and they are building a network to service high-end enterprise customers with FTTX technologies. So factories or a lot of offices or businesses which are not connected. It's not a residential broadband play, but it's a high-end, and that is why they need a DWDM backbone to backhaul those high-capacity customers. So I think it's a very nice win which you've had, and that also proves a good beachhead for hopefully getting more such wins. So again, I mean, we cannot name the customer for confidentiality on all the reasons. We have not yet delivered the revenues. We just got the bookings, which is we got the order, and we expect to deliver that customer order in this quarter itself because it was a forecasted win that we were planning for.
Sir, can I get the value of the order, sir, if possible?
Again, I mean, at this stage, we have not disclosed the customer or the order value, but
all
I can say it's a good initial order, and it's a run rate customer. So as he builds up more and more network and expand into more and more cities and more countries, because it's a multi-country potential opportunity, we hope to benefit from it. But that's something, as I said, we just got the initial order in Q4. We expect to get revenues out of it in this quarter and hopefully build on top of it from here on.
Okay, sir. Sir, another question, sir. With the huge reserve in our hand, is there any acquisition in the process, sir, the company is on?
Any acquisition in the process? So yes, we just a few weeks back acquired Saankhya Labs.
Saankhya,
reasonably sizable amount. And as I mentioned, as a part of the overall strategy, we will continue to, of course, invest organically because we feel that, the foundation of the company should be very strong in terms of manpower, in terms of team, in terms of technology strength. But at the same time, if there are opportunities for inorganic growth, either in India or outside, which are complementary to us, we can definitely look at them positively as well.
Sir, pardon me, one final question, sir, regarding Saankhya Labs. Sir, when we can expect the revenue addition from Saankhya Labs, sir? Q3, can we expect FY23?
I would say that if the acquisition closes as per plan, Q2 onwards will be the effective date for consolidation of accounts, from what I gather. So that, I think, we will again come back as soon as we are closer to that. But tentatively, I think Q2 onwards, some of the revenues from Saankhya Labs will start accrediting to us.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot for the detailed answer, sir. I'm pretty confident that the company will have a roster FY23. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Kshatriya from Edelweiss Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, Sanjay. My first question is regarding this impressive.
Pranav, sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to please speak to the handset? Your voice is breaking.
Sir, one second.
Yeah. Is it audible?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Pranav, yeah, we can hear you well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is regarding this impressive order booking what we have got. So can you just give some more color on that? How much is from the optical product? Is there any contribution from the 4G product? And how much is from the government side, and how much is from the private sector side?
So first of all, almost all the order is still wireline. So it's all optical and wireline products. We have not yet counted anything from wireless in a material way, except for we might have done a small amount, very, very probably 5% of the total order for the year would have been a 5%-10%, maybe not even 5%, but 2-3% would be wireless, and everything else is really optical product at this stage. Which also goes and answers your second question, which is that the 4G product that we have built, and a lot of there's a news around it, we have not yet counted that order into the order book because formally the order has not yet come in our hands, which we expect to happen for the initial deployment, and then, of course, the eventual deployment, which will be a nationwide deployment. So that's what it is in hand today. In terms of the breakup between India government, I would say the highest order book, more than 40% of the order for the more than 50% of the order book this year was from India private, which is a very good thing. India government was around 20% of the order book, and then the international was around another 25% or something like that, right? So really the star performer, I would say, in terms of order book as well as revenue this year was India private, followed by, of course, the international, where some of the territories, not really international, all the territories, but some territories did well, and because Southeast Asia did not do very well, it kind of dragged down the international on an overall basis. But really the revenue profile for the year was short, and all the numbers got distorted because of our inability to complete the orders.
Sure. That's really good to know the higher contribution from the private business. My second question is on the margins. I mean, you did talk about that, first few quarters will have issues on the gross margin side. But I guess, given you will be investing on the 4G product development and, creating, for basically addressing other markets as well. So should we expect meaningful employment, meaningful jump in the wage bill, and hence the significantly lower EBITDA margin than what we have historically had?
Let me step back, because that will give you a better perspective. So clearly, if I look at this year, and it's important for us to make the right investments, because we raised the money from the investment from Tata Group, primarily to ensure that we have enough capacity to invest aggressively early on, so that over a three-year period, if I were to look at, we should literally be able to, drive the business much faster pace than we have ever done before, and really try to become a global player in the next 3 to 5 years period itself. To do that, there is no other way out except to invest into manpower and investing up in R&D and making all the products work, right? I mean, to the best of what they need to be. So that is one area where the expenses will go up. On the other hand, I also said that the margins, A, because of the global supply chain situation, B, because of, the blend of customer products, will be under pressure. So there will be slightly lower margins compared to our historical margin, profile. But then again, I think if I look at it from a big picture angle, that's not something that we would worry about this year. What we would like to do is to be able to win anchor customers which are global scale. And if we can do that, it sets up very well for, significantly increasing margin profitability over a 3 year period. Because think about it this way, our costs are going to be the same whether we do revenue of X or 5X or 10X, right? They'll only increase linearly in the proportion of our manpower. But all the gross profits that accrue, regardless of the percentage margins, would straight away go to the bottom line. So if we can scale up the revenues in a big way, make sure that we are investing to do the right things in terms of product development, market development, and manufacturing as well, then I think we should be able to see all the results in the form of bottom line over a period of time. And that's really what we are lining up to do, rather than optimizing it on a quarter-by-quarter basis.
Sure. That's very interesting. My last question is, on the trade receivable side, if I look at last 2 years, there is almost 100 crore plus amount has been written off on the ECL. There is still a fairly healthy, almost 300 odd crore rupees trade receivable. So can you quantify, this ECL was not there, how much is the BSNL actual outstanding which is recoverable from Tejas? And, what is the level of confidence you have of, getting that money back from them?
Yeah, so over 90 crores of BSNL receivables, which has been provided as a ECL / provision that we have done. We believe the recoverability is extremely high. In fact, it's starting from this quarter itself. We've been continuing to receive money from BSNL, except that once it crosses the three-year boundary and we have a very high amount of hygiene in terms of any receivable that crosses the three-year overdue boundary, either we provide for ECL or if it crosses the 3-year boundary, we do this. There are 93 crores of receivables from BSNL. We expect that over this year itself, and you know, we should be able to recover almost all of it, if not all of it for sure. But that's something which we are confident, because this is really no fault of ours. Many of the sites were not there. There were payment issues with BSNL, as you all know, and all suppliers are facing the flak, except that our board and the audit committee took a very, a prudent view that if a receivable has been delayed for some time, it's better to provide. And if we actually recover the money during the year, nobody's going to complain. So, yeah, that's the situation there. So we don't think the marketability in terms of whether we'll receive it or not is in doubt in our minds. It will come, except that the timing has been a bit of a challenge for us to predict, despite the best effort that we have been making. Our teams have really been doing everything they could to get the money out, but until the money comes from the government customers, you cannot be 100% sure.
No, I just a small clarification. So this 292 crore rupees trade receivable, which is on the books now, the 93 crore rupees what you talked about is part of this, or 93 crore is the ECL portion which you talked about?
No, this is above 293. We'll have 93 which can come in.
Correct.
This is not showing the receivable.
Correct. Yeah, so basically for next year, if this money comes in, this will be the write back portion, and hence, to that extent, EBITDA margin can be higher. Is that how it will work, or?
That is a reasonable comment, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. That's it from my side. Really helpful for elaborate comment.
Thank you. And by the way, in addition to BSN, we really don't have any other sticky receivable of any kind. In that sense.
Thank you. We move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sanjay. Just a couple of clarification questions. First, the Q4 bookings of about 316 crore which you have done, do they carry the updated pricing in terms of the new chip cost which you are facing, or will there be some element of that which is based on older pricing?
No, so this is booking. This is just the orders in hand at the PO value of the customer. So that is it has nothing to do with the chip pricing. I think when we execute those orders.
No, but
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, so but these is it fair to assume that a majority of these bookings, including the run rate contract, will be more recent discussions with customers, and hence the price revisions would have happened?
I would say it would be a mixed bag, because some of it could be tenders or projects that you would have bid in say Q1, Q2, and then they fructified into orders in Q4. Some of it, you're right, a new customer wins that we've had. We would have priced them at the increased price. And by the way, going forward, even for the run rate customers that we have, to the extent possible, we will be increasing the price across the customer board wherever there is an opportunity to have a fair conversation. And at least I can tell you, all customers, all large customers, all global customers who have the view of the world, including ours, are fair, and because all vendors of there, including our competitors, have been considering to pass on the challenges to our suppliers and to customers, and they have been able to do that. So I feel, yeah, going forward, run rate customers will revise. Some of the orders could be older price, newer price is not exactly clear. But as I mentioned, answer to Pranav, I think there will be some margin pressure because the uncertainty in supply chain is still there. I would not say we are out of the woods. We have taken enough action to make sure that over the next few quarters, we should definitely get out of the woods. But at any particular point in time, there's always a little bit amount of variability. For example, a supplier could have accepted your order in January at a price X, and then the supply time, he says, well, memory prices have increased, I'm going to increase by X percentage. I think those are all things that are happening in the market, which I'm sure all of us are, and all our competitors are also exposed to.
Sure. And secondly, if you look at the constraints which you guys have because of this chip supply shortage, it has been kind of stalling your business for 4 quarters now. In terms of normalization, how should we look at the run rate getting back to that normalized 200 crore? Is that something which you think is already at a stage and can happen from next quarter itself? Or do you think this will be a little bit more heavily tilted towards the second half, given that there have been multiple push-outs from chip vendors in terms of supply and situation continues to remain a little bit adverse? So will this be, are we ahead of the worst of the scenario, or do you think it might continue for one or two more quarters before we take the full benefit of all the orders which we have in hand?
If I take 200 crore as a baseline marker, like someone else had said, I think the worst is behind us, okay? So in that sense, starting from this quarter onwards, we can only see positivity going forward. Because think of it this way, Q3, Q4, both have not been very good for us, and things can't be bad forever. So I think we placed orders, we placed Class A's and Class B, C, whatever, but net-net, I think those constraints are, at least from our perspective, are now coming to a close. So clearly, I believe that the positivity in the order inflow should start happening from the current quarter itself. And naturally, of course, it'll accelerate Q3, Q4, because by that time, a lot of decongestion will happen. There's also a possibility worldwide, around September onwards, there could be a little bit of relaxation of the constraints in the supply chain. The over-ordering, over-booking that multiple companies have been doing could potentially get decongested once the clarity comes. So I would say that for the first half of the year, based on the action that we have taken in the last 6 months or 9 months, we should start seeing positive results. For the second half of the year, we again have taken enough inventory actions, and combination of our actions and combination of overall supply chain easing to some extent should help us at least execute this year in a reasonable way from a revenue perspective.
Sure. And just one related question in this is, given that almost 200 crore of your orders in hand are from the public sector space, just in the taking abundance of caution, given the uncertainty of the supply side, these tenders usually have a committed time frame. So is there a requirement upon you to prioritize them when execution starts happening and supplies start coming in because they are time-bound, or which will require you to delay your focus on the international side, or how should we think about that overall mix of India versus international?
First of all, very good question. In fact, nobody asked that question, but even though we did only 550 crores of revenue last year, one of the challenge was to ensure that we prioritize the inventory in such a way that customers where we have, say, 100% market share in international markets who are dependent on us do not suffer, and we continue to enjoy that in a full market share and really their success. Customers in India where there were timelines and liquidated damages, we avoided them. So I think it was a careful balance of all of that, and it will continue. All I can say is that when we are picking up the new government orders or whatever, there are ways and means in which you can give your acceptance in a time period so that you buy as much time as you can, but at the same time avoid any situation of liquidated damages. So I would say so far, despite the shortage of revenues that we dramatically had, and we could have done a lot more revenues last year if we had components, but we somehow were able to prioritize different customers at different points in time. As I mentioned earlier, also some of the run rate customers who you have a shorter time fuse, it's not an LD situation, but you can always push them out by a few weeks here and there. So that's why we saw international was only 16 or 17% of Q4, which would have meant that we prioritized some of the Indian customers of the kind that you just mentioned higher to avoid the critical situation, while we'll go back and manage those international customers, say, in this quarter or vice versa. So it's been an extremely challenging situation, but we have somehow found a way to manage it so far, and I'm confident that with a little better supply situation as we start the year, we will ease into a better rhythm of execution as the year progresses.
Great. Thanks for answering the question, and looking forward to FY23.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subrata Sarkar from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello.
So maybe we can make this as the last question because we're already over the one hour period. So Subrata, you can please go ahead.
Yeah, so I have two, three questions. First, a quick follow-up question that within the Tata Group now, like Tejas has applied for PLI, whereas Axactor Technologies has applied for PLI, and Axactor PLI is actually in bigger in size. So can you just differentiate what is the difference between Axactor and us? Like, is there a product difference, area of difference? Like, what exactly is the difference?
So we know about our PLI, and I think we have adequate coverage, and with all the changes which are potentially expected in the design-led PLI, which also was announced in the budget, I think we should be able to maximize the benefit from the PLI schemes as and when we become eligible. About the other name that you mentioned, I'm not aware of the details of what they do, but. Clearly, from a product perspective, we've been, developing all the products which are eligible for PLI. So I would not want to comment on the other entity. But as far as we are concerned, we have adequate headroom for maximizing the benefit of PLI in our revenue growth as well as the investment profile.
Okay. So the second question is in terms of this BSNL order, BSNL deal basically. So now this POC is approved. Now what is the process? Like can you just explain the steps forward and like how much which state generally takes and ultimately like what is the total addressable market will be for us? And similarly in this context like now again the Lakshya has also got like Oran. So will it help from our perspective since our Oran gets accepted? Will it help from that perspective that, to getting any synergy or anything on that?
So first question about what's the process. So BSNL had floated an expression of interest as an open tender to anybody who could demonstrate a successful end-to-end stack of base stations, core, etc. And out of four or five initial parties who had expressed that interest, only one consortium, which is the TCS-led consortium of which we are a part of, was successful in completing the POC. Others possibly did not even start the POC. So once that process has been completed, as per the tender guidelines, there is only one eligible potential bidder who can execute their entire order. They would of course have to find the process to give initial order, follow-on order, close the price, etc. And all of those processes are being done as a part of standard government processes for large tenders. The opportunity for this, again, the original expression of interest that was floated by BSNL was for a pan-India rollout of more than 100,000 sites. And the initial order, which I read in the newspapers like any of you guys also, was for 6,000 sites to begin with. And, because all the other commercial discussions are going on between BSNL and the front-end system integrator. So at that stage, I would say the opportunity is very large. Time period of executing that opportunity would be between this and next calendar year because, from 4G, then, India is going to go to 5G, so there will be opportunities to get into that space as well. So I would say a lot of that is work in progress and as we all know with any government deal situation, till we get the order in hand and till everything happens, we of course are well prepared to step up, but we will still have to wait for all of those things to actually work out in our favor.
Okay. My last question, it's more of a just to understand our marketing side. So now out of our total order book, this is an explain a rough figure of how much we get from SI, number one. And number two, since we are now into Tata's table, so now we approach to various SIs. So, but now since TCS is there, have we decided or anything on that level that we will only go with TCS or still now we will continue to do with other SI also?
No. First of all, we will be agnostic as a product. First of all, lot of what we sell is directly to the customer. Private operators, large private operators, for example, typically directly buy from the OEM, which is a company like ours. So majority of our business is through OEM. I would say a vast majority of our business is direct with the customers. In certain turnkey projects, for example, if a project is of a value of 100, if our equipment is only 50, let's say, right, we would be, partnering with someone else who could do 100 and he can buy our 50. It could be a Tata Group company, it could be anybody else, for example, right? Of course, naturally, there is a synergy within the group which you would like to explore first, but we definitely are open to everybody, and I'm sure from their side it would be the same. But then there are projects in which things are very tightly tied up, For example, the indigenous 4G solution where everything had to be Indian, and there was a lot more close cooperation between all the stakeholders. In this case, it was TCS, CHS, and CDOT, since it's all public information. So we all worked closely together and really created a completely indigenous 4G system, which can potentially be upgraded to 5G going forward. That's a part of the requirement as well. So in that sense, we will be working with everybody, but naturally, large anchor deals, we will be partnering with different SIs, and in this particular case, in the BSN, we already know that whom we are partnering with. So that's the way to think of.
Sir, any rough figure, like what percentage of our order book or revenue comes from SIs?
We do not disclose granularity of information at that level. We disclose our order book.
This will only help us to understand like the synergy in terms of that we can get because of Tata Group basically. So I'm asking from that perspective.
I understand your question. Again, as I said, we always have been very disciplined about what we disclose, and we continue to make sure that we increase the disclosures in a meaningful way that can be used by everybody. So since we do not disclose customer-wise revenues or SI versus non-SI, but I would answer your question in a different way. If I look at India, some of the large anchor deals, which are system integration deals like the one which we talked about for the 4G, would require a system integrator to be there to be able to take care of, a nationwide rollout, for example, with either government operator or private operator, whatever. In this case, it will make sense to work with a system integrator because we are only a small part of the solution. But the second place where synergies could potentially come is in international markets, let's say, right, where we do not have access to a certain customer or another group company, whosoever it could be, has relationship in that customer. It would definitely make a lot of sense for us to use that synergy, that connection, that credibility to win business in that account, or position ourselves as a Tata Group company and say, we are a part of the same group that you've been dealing with, and you have confidence, and we have all these products, and we can give them a larger solution. So I think some of those things will evolve as the year progresses, and we have to find customers where we can add value. But I'm sure the way world is growing, where customers are not just buying point products, they are buying solutions. For example, in 5G, a lot of sales will be solution sales. It will not be equipment sales. I'm sure that we should be able to leverage synergies and relationships and the brand name, especially in international market, to be able to build a bigger business growth. It will take a little bit of time because all these things don't happen overnight, but I'm very confident that as time progresses and as our engagements within the group and with the customers outside increases, we'll start seeing benefits of us being a part of the Tata fold in terms of meaningful impact to revenue, especially on the international side as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. I think since you're well over time, moderator, could you say if this is okay to conclude or you have any last...
Yes, sir. Would you like to give any closing comments?
No, I think first of all, it's been a very good interaction. I'm very happy that, questions were asked from a different perspective from, the backlog that we have, the breakup, the inventory actions we have taken, the margin thing, the investment thing. And of course about the BSN order results. So I hope we were able to answer a lot of questions. In summary, as I said, FY22 was a challenging year for us. We are not happy about the way the revenues shaped out. Eventually, we thought we could have done much better, but it is what it is. We have figured out a way to, move forward, manage our customers, not lost any business. And as we start FY23, we start with a strong order book. B, we have enough inventory coverage. And C, I think more importantly, we are also investing and we see good clarity that if we can make the right investment, we can scale up the teams and the products in the right areas. Over the next three-year period, we can actually bring a significant amount of growth and profitability over a period of time in the company, and which we're very excited about. So that's where I would close. Thank you very much, and have a great evening and night.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.